You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
So the Auckland Council is planning an aerial drop of 1080 poison over the Hunua Ranges in southeast Auckland. This is the second 1080 operation over the ranges, with the last one in 2015. I talked to Forest and Bird spokesperson Kevin Haig on the effects of the drop and researcher Tina Ngata on why some people oppose using the poison. First, can you describe the Hunua Ranges, like what conservation value it has on New Zealand?
Well, Hunua Ranges is close to Auckland, of course, which is unusual. So the Hunuas and the Waitakere Ranges are close to our largest city and are home to actually an enormous number of native species. In particular, in the Hunua Ranges, there is a stronghold of kōkako, which is extremely important. It's a relatively intact forest close to a big city, and we've mostly lost our lowland forest around the country, so the Hunuas are very special.
Now, going on to the 1080 operation by Auckland Council, how does the operation work?
Well, so 1080 operations start by a pre-feed, which is baits are dropped into the area where the 1080 operation will occur, but the baits themselves have no 1080, and the idea is to acclimatise the rats and possums to the idea that these are food, so that in the next drop, and occasionally you'll have two of these preconditioning drops, and I think one's planned for the Hunua Ranges. Then the baits are dropped that are laced with the 1080, and it's the 1080 itself is a tiny amount of the bait that you can see. It's dropped at a rate of something like 2 kilograms per hectare, I think, is being planned for the Hunua Ranges, and that's roughly 4 baits in an area the size of a tennis court. So the baits are then very attractive to the possums and the rats. They've been accustomed to thinking of them as food, and it's highly toxic to those animals. So you typically knock out almost all of the possums and potentially up to all of the rats.
What effects does an 1080 drop have?
Well, the predominant effect is that it takes out all of those predatory animals. And I should say that there are other animals like stoats and weasels and ferrets that don't directly eat the baits themselves, but they will consume the corpses of the rats in particular, and die through secondary poisoning. So these are the animals that are placing the greatest stress on our native bird. We have a crisis in nature. You know, we have 80% of our native birds at risk of extinction, and one of the main reasons for that is that they are being predated by these animals. So we have a stark choice. You know, we can either have the native birds or we can have possums, rats and stoats. So the principal effect is that it removes those predators and gives, actually usually for a couple of seasons after a drop, some real relief for those birds to have greater success with their breeding. And that's certainly what was noticed in the Hunua Ranges after the 2015 drop. But many of the birds, especially the kōkako, actually just had way better breeding success. And so their populations have increased. But of course, after a while, those predators from areas that were not subject to the drop or any that survived the drop do actually start to rebuild numbers again. And that's why you have to do it several times.
Allegations that 1080 poison will cause animal suffering. Are there any alternative ways to that?
Some people would say you can control those animal pests by other methods, and by that they usually mean by trapping. Now, I'm a person who actually does go out and traps pests myself, and many forest and birders are. And I don't actually know a single person who is involved in any kind of extensive way in trapping who believes that it's actually possible to control the whole of New Zealand, actually sort of control those pests by trapping alone, because it's so labour intensive, and there are many, many parts of New Zealand, including parts of the Hanua ranges, that are just simply too rugged to be able to get traps into and check them regularly enough. So yes, there are some areas where it's possible to use alternative methods through trapping, but there are vast parts of New Zealand where that simply isn't possible, and that's why 1080 is so important.
Why do some people oppose the use of 1080?
Well, I mean, it's not new. I think that 1080 in its various forms has had resistance right throughout the years, largely because it's a very effective killer, and we've got to be upfront with that. It's a very effective killer. And I think even those that oppose it because of how effective a killer it is, and the concerns really are around the bykill. So, and you can't deny that there is a bykill. It's just really one of those very difficult decisions that you have to make around, will you risk the loss of a few for the greater good of a boom in numbers, you know, later on. And so for some, there's a lot of mistruth out there around the nature of the bykill. There's a lot of mistruth out there around the nature of the risk and the nature of the dangers. So I think we need to be looking at the robust research that's been done, quite a decent amount of research that's been done around exactly what the nature of the risk is that we are taking, and then we can measure that off against the benefits later on. But those are generally, you know, what some of the more rational concerns are. There are some of these concerns also have more recently, it's been discovered, branch into much broader concerns that have to do with distrust of the state and distrust of the Department of Conservation. And we also can't get around the fact that, you know, a lot of our conservation estate lies on stolen land, and is now under the care and management of the Department of Conservation, and that there are some broken relationships that sit at the heart of this, which mean that people generally don't trust the state. So it's very difficult for people to have a level of faith around the level of threat, if that makes sense.
What can the Department of Conservation, or in this case Auckland Council, can do to protect native species while maintaining the confidence of those who oppose the use of 1080?
Well, you know, I think one of the things is that there are, around the country, there are pockets of areas, especially Hapu and Iwi, who have gone ahead and utilised it for a number of years now. Whenua Kite is one. You know, Bay Bush Action Group up north is another, and they have carried out independent research themselves, and they have carried out work themselves. And I think, you know, we really need to be elevating a lot of those voices of hapu, iwi and whānau who have used 1080, and they have seen the impacts themselves with their own eyes, and really promoting those stories of the success. You know, Whenua Kite, you have flocks of 200 kereru flying around, and we don't even have that in living memory where I live on the East Cape. So, you know, those are the kinds of stories that we really need to be getting out there.
Worry Week on The Wire.
That was Justin Wong speaking to Kevin Haig and Tina Ngata, respectively, on 1080.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.